Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. We heard about this program some months ago when we were speaking with Ann Basting, theater professor who won a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant to support her program. It's a really wonderful program. One aspect is Artists in Residence, and it's UWM students who are living with elders, and they are creating friendships, they're doing art, they're doing theater, they're helping to increase creativity and also help ease social isolation. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel ran a story on April 30th, which caught our attention, and so we thought we would talk about it this hour of the program. We're going to have several guests with us, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls as well. Erin Whitney is a community arts major at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, a participant in the Student Artist in Residence program, and she has lived at the Chi Point Senior Living on the east side of Milwaukee since August. Erin, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. Also joining us is Ian McGibbon. He's an art education major at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, also a participant in the Student Artist in Residence program, and it's his third semester living at East Castle Place Retirement Home. Ian, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
A little bit later in the program, two seniors who are at Luther Manor will be joining us. They are participants in the program there, and we'll speak with the Life Enrichment Coordinator at Luther Manor, and you two are about to graduate.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Here you
May
go.
May 20th.
Woo! Here you go, world. So I'm wondering if this experience you've had has changed your thoughts about what you're going to do with your lives.
Go ahead, Erin.
Thank you. This experience has been a complete path switcher.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the whole experience with community art at UWM has been, it was always I wanted to work with people, work with art, and the meshing of it just worked perfectly. And then when Creative Trust came into my life too, it's been working fantastically. I would love to further working with older adults, especially in the Milwaukee community. There's soft spot in my heart for that. But yeah, I guess the road is open, so
yeah.
Who knows?
We'll find out what you've been doing in a moment. Ian, how about you?
Well, so I did this last year too, and I initially thought, well, heck, this might be a really cool career path. And I love working with seniors. I love working with older people. But now I'm finishing up my second placement in student teaching, and I really have enjoyed that as well. So I think I'm going to probably go into MPS school somewhere.
Mm.
High school, I'm thinking.
Good for both of you. Mm-hmm. So now tell me more about this program. You actually live in the centers for a whole semester or for a whole year, as has been the case for both of you. You live with the residents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a special program with them once a week, or how often? What are you doing? How do you interact?
Well, it kind of depends on your schedule, but we're both full-time students, and I have a job as well, so it kind of is varied. It's not every week, but we'll plan activities or field trips to galleries around town, especially Union Art Gallery. That's where I've taken residence a lot, too. And then there's just the occasional dinner, the occasional game night, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially, it's when you're living there, these are your neighbors, and so your life and theirs kind of dwell together. So you even if you don't have an activity that day or a workshop, you're still running in and seeing what's new, what's up, what movie's playing tonight.
Hmm. It's unusual for there to be this kind of interaction among people who are your age and people who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and even beyond.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live in a society like that. Why don't we, and what are we missing?
We're missing so much. I think the way of what we have right now is with homes and senior communities. They're fantastic places, and it would be so great to integrate that more into other communities. Like, I think the university is, from my own experience, melding that with living in the senior community, it's fantastic. I think there needs to be more of it. The opportunities, the bridges that are built between, like, different connections of my friends who may be interested in, say, writing and reading. I have a friend at High Point, Enid, who is a writer, and all of a sudden they're exchanging stories and reading from each other, and it's these friendships and connections. It needs to happen. I love intergenerational living. It's a good idea.
Yeah. And why is there so little of it, Ian?
I don't really know. It's kind of a taboo thing, I want to say, but from my experience and what I've seen, the intergenerational interactions are really positive. And mm-hmm. Maybe some people don't know or don't think that older people are curious, but they are so curious. And I think we should be too, because they have really awesome stories to tell.
Mm-hmm. And you also do field trips, so you help people get out of the facilities they're in and become a part of the broader world, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, like I've said, taking them to the Union Art Gallery on UWM's campus has been a really nice treat. Just getting them on to the campus, some of them actually went to school there, were professors there, and like seeing their excitement of being in that place again is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the stories you've heard. I would imagine you work with people, and again, it's a resource we lose. Many people have led extraordinarily interesting lives and also give us a sense of history of this community and also the world in previous decades.
Oh, wow. There are so many stories, and oftentimes it's kind of funny living there. It becomes this casual relationship of your neighbors, and sometimes these pasts don't come up, and then there'll be like a sudden drop of, oh, I taught students for this many years, and it's just mind-blowing sometimes of like, wow, this, you have this whole other history behind you. What about some good stories? Or
Can I hear the question one more time? Sorry.
What it is that we're missing in terms of the histories that you've heard from the people that you're living with, their sense of history and history in this community as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a lot of knowledge of the history of architecture in the city, history of people that have specifically like East Castle. I've had a lot of conversations about how East Castle, the place, has transformed over the years, over the generations. It used to be just an assisted living home for women, and now it's like this very inclusive place that a lot of people love to be at. So,
mm-hmm. Do you worry about getting older as a result of this year?
No, No, I don't think so. No,
no?
If I would like to be just as jazzy, that would be really a good positive thing.
Sometimes I'm a little worried. You know, there are some residents that are just perform better and have, you know, better physical life, and I just hope that I retain those skills in the future too.
Mm-hmm. And I know a big part of this program in centers, and Anna's being, because of the MacArthur grant, is taking this all over the state, that there's something about poetry, there's something about theater, there's something about art that may retrieve memories from people who have had Alzheimer's, people who have dementia, people who have a bit of cognitive memory loss. Tell me how art has been able to spark memory among the people you work with.
Sparking memory is one thing. There's also one other part I just want to touch on. It. Sometimes it's not having to acknowledge memory. Even if I were to give you a craft right now and we start making, we're using our hands and we're talking, it's that stress and anxiety about what did I just do, or what, or maybe even sometimes what I have for breakfast this morning, that's gone, and you are just you, and that can be a beautiful thing. As far as sparking memory, sometimes there'll be like music. I've seen music, and all of a sudden I had Dee Dee like singing along with the song, and art. Wow.
Yeah, I think sometimes just not focusing too much on trying to like get them to spark memories is good, because I have tried that with this workshop where we tried to tell a story from our memory, and a lot of residents got frustrated. Mm-hmm. But just being there and doing something creative is super great for, just having conversations in the now.
And I would imagine there's a lot of talent within the walls where you're working, too. You're probably working with former musicians and poets and writers and all kinds of people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. East Castle has a great choir, I'll tell you that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So does High Point.
Oh. Interesting. And do people feel that you're working with, that they are confined? Is there a real desire to get out of the four walls in which they reside and go out and be part of the community at large? Or, on the other hand, to have more people come into the facility to interact with them?
I think it's bringing people in that needs to be a focus. Like, they get out fine. They go out, they do grocery shopping, they go to the cinema down the street, you know, Downer Theater, Oriental. I think bringing people in is where we need to focus energy.
Mm-hmm. And who should come in?
Well, more young people. People in elementary schools would be great. They've been asking for Montessori children down the street to come in for a long time. So I think seeing that those intergenerational interactions happen would be fantastic.
We did a workshop over at High Point when we had a school of 3 and 4 year olds come in, and so it was the residents, my neighbors, and then these kids running around, and it was just this chaotic mess of fun and art, and we made shaving cream snowmen, and it was just like there were no boundaries between friends. It was like everyone immediately was just friends making together. Yeah, I would love to see some younger kiddos
and I'll put a little plug in too, because coming up right after this, I'm going to East Castle, and my cooperating teacher from Shorewood High School is coming in with a few students, and we're going to hang out with residents and present different projects that we've done over the semester. So that'll be pretty cool to see.
Very nice.
Cool.
What do you mean you're a cooperating teacher?
So in student teaching, we just have cooperating teachers at each site, teachers that are normally the regular art teacher there. So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah. So tell me, why is it that we created this society? I don't know if it's the best system for us or not, but why is it that we, when you think about it, and let me ask the audience, too, if you're a younger person, how many friends do you have who are in their 70s or 80s or 90s, maybe you have grandparents who you visit once, you know, holidays or something, but how many true friendships do you have, do we have with people who are, well, I'm getting old, I'm not real old yet, but I'm getting old, but I even realize that I don't have a lot of friendships with people who are a whole lot younger than I am right now, that we tend to be very segregated, not only by race in this area, but also by age. How did that happen?
I think sometimes it might be a misconception of interest. Like, I know interests go, like the story before of one of my friends and another friend, them or a neighbor, Enid, that I'm living with, exchanging stories. They both have this interest of writing, but maybe that in society we have this idea that certain ages like to participate in several activities. But I think I would take a step back and look, and I think these interests are a lot more intergenerational than we think they are, such as like concerts, going out, or like going out to a festival in the summer. I think we could do better blending with these friendships and relationships.
Yeah, we can do better. I think that these programs are, you know, making those strides towards making it better. And I think back to, like, growing up, I never hung out with people twice my age, three times my age, unless it was my grandparents. It's one of those things where it's going to be your grandparents, and that's who you're going to have those experiences with, and you're not going to have the exposure otherwise.
On Facebook, Chuck writes this, and we'll give the phone number here in a minute so people can join you. This is such a great idea, Chuck says. Does it include elements of the program that Dr. Bill Thomas introduced in an upstate New York nursing home in the 1990s? Pets and plants for residents to take care of.
Pets and plants, wow.
I like
hello. Like, we're moving up with this marigold planting workshop. Well, that's an awesome... I'm not really familiar with Bill, or what was the study?
Yeah, I'm not either. Dr. Bill Thomas, upstate New York nursing home in the 1990s.
Dr. Bill Thomas.
Yeah.
We're all writing this with crayons.
Bill Thomas.
Well, thank you, Chuck. Wow, okay.
Well, yeah. I know a lot of residents have pets.
Oh, do they?
Really, like a lot of little dogs I see.
Oh, are there?
The halls,
oh, I'm so
really
glad to
fun.
Hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them too.
So yeah. I think it's important letting... Mm-hmm. animals into the building.
The plants part too. I think there's a big pride over at High Point about like the plants that we have. I was just talking with one of the residents, Marie, about her old love for gardening and just like getting her hands in the dirt, and she even was making these like really wonderful gestures with her hands, and it inspired me to make mosaic flower pots when we're going to start doing a little gardening this summer.
Oh, nice.
I hope, but I'd like to look more into the study of Dr. Bill Thomas. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Aaron.
Is
it in that lot right next to High Point, that big green lot?
Oh, I love that lot. So many dogs. No, it's not going to be in that lot. I was thinking of, there's a beautiful patio on the backside of High Point, and there's usually some plantings that grow tomatoes, but I would love to make like a raised bed, but that's another day, another project. Looking forward to it, though.
Yeah. We're welcoming phone calls, too, if you'd like to join our conversation. We're talking about the Artists in Residence program. UWM students are living with elders, and as you can see, opening up whole new worlds for everybody. There's a story that caught our attention that we put on our Facebook page on April 30th, and we are talking with two seniors at UWM who are artists in residence. They are living at these facilities. Erin Whitney is at the Chi Point Senior Living, where she's been since August. She is a participant in the Student in Artist program. She's an art major at UW-Milwaukee. Ian McGibbon is an art education major at UW-Milwaukee, also a participant in this program, and he's at the East Castle Place Retirement Home. Later in the program, we'll speak with two of the seniors who are participants in the program at Luther Manor in Wauwatosa, and we'll also speak with the Life Enrichment Coordinator at Luther Manor. You might be familiar with these programs. Maybe your community across Wisconsin or wherever you are has a similar program. And maybe you can also answer this question that I have, is why it is that we're so segregated by age in our society, and what we could all learn from each other if we had friends who were of all ages. And, well, here's how you reach us. The number here is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. Okay, we have a lot of people calling in for you, and let's start with Jenny in Milwaukee. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I just wanted to say, I actually share an office at the university with the program coordinator for the STAIRS program at UWM.
Oh.
Hi, Erin.
Hi, Jenny.
And I just want to say how very proud we are out of our office to have these students representing the university out in the homes. And when they come back to campus and talk about their relationships with elders in our community and how much they're gaining and giving, it really inspires other students to take those sort of leaps and, you know, participate in service learning in some residence homes that maybe they wouldn't have taken that leap before. So I really applaud our STAIRS for leading in such a beautiful way.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
How nice of you to call. And I can tell from having met them from a short period of time, they'd be a joy to have around. Yeah, it's a wonderful program, Jenny. Don't you think?
I do. I mean, it's fascinating. It's interesting. And, you know, I mean, frankly, it's a little bit heartbreaking how much need there is for, you know, companionship and interaction in resident facilities in our community.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking, Ian was talking about trying to get young people to homes, and both of our guests were talking about how important it is to be around young people. Do you coordinate outside interest to go to the many homes, too? Are you in need of school groups or, I don't know, musicians, anybody from the outside to come in?
You know, I think there's a lot of opportunity in the community for this, for people that want to step up and help organize it. I specifically work with programs putting university students into our Milwaukee public schools. Mm. Rebecca, who I share an office with, coordinates the STAIRS. You know, they're branching out statewide to look at other communities and activities, and there is just a demand, and people feel really excited to be thought of. As far as,
yes,
you know, residence facilities. I think there'd definitely be an opportunity. There's plenty of opportunity for it. There just needs to be people willing to coordinate it and think about it outside of the box,
mm-hmm,
you know, and setting it up. A lot of it's just, you know, the moving the pieces that make programs successful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very much for calling. We should find out sometime before the hour's over how people can call if they would like to offer themselves, their skills, cool, whatever, jokes, fun times.
I love those.
Yeah, so let's figure out a number that people can call. Did you find that it was going to be a difficult, you can be honest about this, did you find that it might be difficult for you to spend a year living in one of these facilities? I mean, you could be out in the town, you know, having parties all night and living the college life and with, you know, a lot of other people in a flat somewhere on the east side, and you're not.
Well, we still all get to enjoy those things, I will say. We're there, we're living there, but it's not that we're so in public. It's almost like living at your own apartment, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not like we can't enjoy ourselves outside.
Mm-hmm. So you had no second thoughts?
No second thoughts.
Aaron?
I came in the second year for the live-in program, and Ian, you seem to be having a good time, so I applied as well. And honestly, sometimes it's a little desensitizing sometimes. Like, you don't think that you're living in a senior living community. It doesn't read that way residency. Like, it doesn't read that way whatsoever. Tonight we're playing La La Land, and other nights we're doing...
Are you really?
Bingo. Yeah, you're...
Great
well,
movie.
Come on over. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to be checking that out with some popcorn at High Point. But, it doesn't read... I think there's, like, a misunderstanding, obviously, of what a senior living home is. And I get a couple jokes from friends, like, what time do you go to bed? I'm mm-hmm. like, just as late. Sometimes people are up later than I am. So there's... Yeah, it's a great, great place, though.
Hmm. We thank you so much, Jenny, for calling. And let's go to a caller from Brookfield. Hi. Hi, Lisa? Lisa, are you there? No, we can't hear Lisa, but I have an inkling what she's going to talk about. Lisa thinks it's a great program and believes that it should include other majors.
Mm.
Oh, go for it.
I was just going on this a little bit ago. I think the art component's fantastic. It blends incredibly well. But I also see such an opportunity for other majors, like the computer science major would fit fantastically with social media and incorporating, like, photography. I also see this being an opportunity to grow within, like, a conservation and environmental science effort. You can do gardening, just education on different ways of lifestyle. There's interest for all of this in these senior living communities. I just think, how do we get more people with these diverse interests through the door? Because I don't think a lot of people know how strong these interests are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool getting a theater major this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we did not have we had a couple dance majors, but having Thorin, a theater major, I think was very cool.
Yeah. All right. So you're making out a call for other people to come into some of these homes and spread what they know and visit, and let's break this generational gap.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Is there a number? Do you have a number of places? No? He's looking in his pocket. It's in his pocket somewhere.
Just give me a call. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll find out.
Just give me a call.
We'll soon find out, and we'll let everybody know, because I know there are people of goodwill who would love to participate in the program. The idea, actually, for this, and we interviewed her, Ann Basting, who deservedly so received the MacArthur Genius Grant and is spreading these programs all over the state. Lots of programs that center on those who have some degree of memory loss and doing work with words and poetry and theater, and now this program that is in several places, an artist-in-residence program. UWM students live with the elderly in some of these homes and create friendships and create music and art. And we were talking this half hour with two of the artist-in-residence, Aaron Whitney, community arts major, who's at Chi Point Senior Living, and Ian McGibbon, art education major at UW-Milwaukee, who is living at East Castle Place Retirement Home. Do we have a phone number?
We are at loss of a phone number right here, but we think we collaborated a good idea. Actually,
okay.
The Creative Trust page, there's a contact little component on there. I think that goes straight to our lovely Ann Basting. So,
Creative Trust page.
Mm-hmm. So Milwaukee Creative Trust.
Milwaukee Creative Trust. Mm-hmm. You can get more information. All the best to both of you. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll let you go do what you're going to go do and carry on. Thank you. It's a really good thing to do, and what a wonderful program. We're going to continue talking about this program. We just have different guests joining us now, and they are seniors who are participants in this program at Luther Manor. in Wauwatosa, actually. Rusty Tim, a resident at Luther Manor and a participant, and Joyce Heinrich, who is also a participant and where the a student in resident there is, I believe, a theater major. And we'll be taking phone calls, too. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you're on the line, just stay where you are, 800-486-8655. Okay, we're just saying goodbye to our guests who are in studio with us. Rusty, and hello, Rusty. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Kathy. Hello.
Hi.
Good to talk to you again. I used to work with you.
Oh, Rusty.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. By golly, you sure did. Uh-huh. I remember you, Rusty. How are you?
I am just fine. In fact, I'm excellent.
Good for you. I never put the name with your voice, and I heard your voice, and I said, I know who this is.
There you go.
Yeah, great. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And also joining us is Joyce Heinrich, and she's at Luther Manor as well. Joyce, hello.
Hi, and I am Joyce Heinrich, and I never did work with you, but I am about to work with you now, I understand.
Exactly.
Day.
Yeah, we will all have work together by the end of this hour. Well, this is really a wonderful program. Rusty, why don't you talk? I know you've become really good friends with the theater major who's been living at Luther Manor, and you've been doing some writing for the program. You did radio plays?
Yeah, we've started radio plays based on the success of Anne Bastien's play that she had here at Luther Manor, called the Penelope Finding Penelope,
mm-hmm.
She taught us some really unique ideas, gave us some unique ideas, and we formed a group called Beyond Penelope, and from that group we established our own radio programs here at Luther Manor. We're doing radio stage plays. And Joyce and I and others who live here work together on writing scripts. We're in the process of putting together our next play. We're in the embryo stage of writing the script right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the writing thing has been a unique experience, because the people here who want to get involved in writing have been extremely enthusiastic about this live-in program. When we have a young man like Thorin come in here, it was instant friendship with all of us.
Why did that happen? Why was it an instant friendship?
Well, I think one of the things is we simply had the opportunity to meet with somebody who's got the same interests that we have.
Right.
Okay. And he was extremely willing to be a participant. Won't you agree, Joyce?
Oh, yes. Thorin was just such an asset. It was sort of love at first sight between Thorin and all of us. And we just look forward to every Sunday afternoon when he teaches a storytelling and a creative writing class and gives us something to think about throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel, both of you, we were talking about a sense of isolation that maybe some people feel when they're in various places, that they're really looking for more contact with the outside world, with young children, with other people, just to talk to them. Do you feel a sense of isolation?
Absolutely no sense of isolation. In fact, I often say to myself, had I stayed alone in my condominium out in the rural areas, I would have then felt isolation. Here, I cannot feel isolation. I'm just surrounded by friends all the time.
And how about younger people? Are you surrounded? Do you need more younger people in your life, Joyce?
We always enjoy younger people. That's one of the things I like about the opportunity to have younger people come in. We've dealt with first-stage theater people. We've dealt with the people from University of Wisconsin. So we're intergenerational, and that's the good thing.
Mm-hmm. Rusty, how about you?
Well, we also have two restaurants here, a dining room rather, and a restaurant, and there are people who are servers, and they're going to school. They're young people. They're college students, and they're paying their way through college by working here. And we have created some lasting friendships. I know I've lived here 7 years now, and I still know some people who left 6 years, 7 to 8 years ago to go out into the world from their scholastic achievements, and we're still in contact with them. So it's really a unique thing. We never. I always take a bridge to that word isolation. liberation, because we don't feel that way. We don't feel confined. Sunday, Joyce and I and our families and other friends here went to the theater to see Thorin in a play, and we got in our brand new bus. Beautiful brand new bus. We were the first ones to take the trip and went downtown to the Rep Theater and saw Thorin and the other students at UWM put on a sensational play. So isolationism is not the key to senior living. The social part of our community here at Luther Manor is exceptional. We have people come here on many occasions to perform and to put on several different styles of performance. So it's an active community, and it's something that we're always enthusiastic about. And that's why I think, I'm sure Joyce is nodding her head saying the same thing. That's why when a young man such as Thorin moved into our community, it wasn't just Joyce and I that embraced him. It was everyone here who couldn't stop inviting him to come to dinner with them and join them and have break some bread and carry on some interesting conversation.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing, Rusty, I remember you well from those days at another radio station in town, and you were always a really lively, gregarious person. You sound exactly the same, even more gregarious.
Well, thank you. I just enjoy life. What the heck? I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. And the other thing is, if you want to enjoy life, you want to find a place that sponsors that creates that, and that's what's happening here. So this is all part of it. It's easy, by the way, for someone to say, hey, this isn't for me. I don't want any part of this. But once, especially if it's a negative thing, but when it's all positive, that creates and keeps joviality, if you will.
Right.
It keeps me going.
And Joyce, tell me about how the Artist in Residence program works at Luther Manor. How often do you get together with Thorin? What are you doing?
Okay. We are doing a storytelling and a creative writing class under his auspices, and each week we meet with Thorin. He gives us an idea of what we're to write or tell about the following week, and we all take a turn at doing that, and we all have our little specialties. Some are doing genealogies. I myself enjoy poetry, and I hadn't written poetry for 20 years, and through Thorin, I just came back to picking up these things. And the people in the class never failed to say how they would not have had this opportunity if they had not been a part of this class, a part of this community. I get up every morning, I look at the calendar, and my hardest decision is to what I am going to choose to do. There are so many things.
Really? And what about just having the presence of an artist in residence who's living in the community? Is that meaningful?
Yes, it's very meaningful, because it becomes just as he is an inspiration to us, I believe also we may be an inspiration to him, because he looks at us and refers to us many times. And I can't help but believe, since Thorin is graduating this year, that he will look back, and he has promised to write us every once in a while, so we may keep up with him. And the best part of the program is we were told yesterday that it is about to continue with a different student next year. We look forward to it.
Great.
We embrace that chance.
Great. It's a terrific program. Let's welcome phone calls for both of you. 800-486-8655 is our number. Rusty Tim and Joyce Heinrich are residents at Luther Manor in Wauwatosa and very active, as you can tell, participants in the Student Artist in Residence program there. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. And let's go to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Kathleen. I enjoy your show, and I think this is the first time I've ever called in. And what I wanted to say, I find out from speaking to your producer before I came on air, is no longer in existence. But several years ago, My mom was at the Lutheran Home as opposed to Lutheran Manor. Lutheran Home, which is on 76th and North, also in La Watosa, I think, they had a daycare center there. And even though my mom wasn't very verbal, when I would visit her, we would often go to the window where the children were playing outside and just watch the kids play. But I think your producer told me that they don't have it anymore, which I find to be really sad. I'm going to contact him and find out what happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to that one. What about this connection? Do both of you feel it important that you have connection with people who are very young? The other artist in residence, we're talking about how residents in their areas really wanted 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds to come visit, that it was really a jolt of joy to them. Do you have that? Do you want that where you are?
Well, one thing I just want to make a correction. There's a confusion sometimes between Luther Manor and Luther Home. Mm-hmm. Luther Home is on 76th and North, and Luther Manor is on 92nd and Hampton. And we're right next to a golf course. We have active golfers and whatever, and the airport's nearby. So there is a difference between the two homes. Now, and yes, we've had youngsters here. In fact, just down the hall, one of the residents' the granddaughter comes in with her child quite often, and we call him Squeaky because his shoes always make noise when he's walking down a hall, and we tease him about that. But there's also been times where younger students will come in and do a game time with us on Sundays, and they're just marvelous. They interact with us in extremely easy, comfortable manner. It's not Sarah Hauer, who wrote the article in the paper a couple of weeks ago, was amazed by the interaction between the young people and our own residents here. So she was quite taken by that. One time when she was here during one of our meetings, she noticed that there were people walking by our meeting room and looking in, and we were talking with them, and she just was very taken by that. The interaction, it's not a cloistered community. It's a doors open community, you know.
I want you to have a chance to respond to Joyce. What do you think?
We certainly enjoy having people. In fact, younger people. In fact, very often some of the churches will bring in some of their Sunday school students, some of their confirmation students. We just had a group, and we exchanged a whole afternoon of telling about our experiences, they telling us about their experiences, giving us a chance to be speakers as well as, and more importantly, listeners to one another.
Right. Thank you very much, Mary, for your call. Colin in Viroqua. Hi, Colin.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm going to tell you, I take my little miniature horse to the nursing home on a, you know, fairly regular occasion, and it brings back memories. We meet all in a big room together, and my little horse comes right inside, and the gentleman will pull him up real close and smell him, and they always kind of get teary-eyed and say, oh, I just remember farming with my horses. And, you know, a lot of times the ladies will say, oh, I had a little pony we used to ride across the field. So, you know, I don't know if it's more therapeutic for me or for them. It's just a wonderful time, and they remember very well once that sense of smell comes to them. They love it.
Yeah. How big is your miniature horse, Colin?
Oh, he's just a little over 3 feet tall.
Oh.
Yep. It's a wonderful time. And you know, more people should get involved in participating at homes or with elderly. I was raised by my grandma, and they have a lot to teach you.
Absolutely. You're right. I think it's so true that smells can make you think of memories of years past, too, Rusty, don't you think? Smells, and certainly musical sounds.
Sure. You bet. Those are all part of remembrance, all part of things that have happened in the past. And I, you know, it's interesting when you mention the past. I don't know how nostalgic the past is anymore, because there's, you know, today it isn't like, you know, you can choose to be negative if you want to, but it's really something that isn't a profound thing around here, and I think that's part and parcel of it. You know, we have so many activities going on, and I know we want to talk about Thorne and that program, the Artist in Residence program, and that's part of it. That's part of the activity scene. Yesterday we had a gathering with Thorne of the residents came around to thank him for his work throughout the school year, because he'll be graduating soon, and we tried real hard to make him feel like he was really an important part of our life here, and he recognized that, he caught that.
He is an important part. He has really brought out the best in everyone he meets. He just is so easygoing, easy to meet. He seems to anticipate whatever needs we might have for that particular day, be it sort of a boost to our confidence or just sort of a joke. He is really an outstanding young man.
Mm. I'm sure that, I know he had to be in class, he was going to join us, but he was, I hope that he hears this. It's always good to hear people say nice things about you, right? Even if he wasn't in the room. Thank you very much, Colin, for your call. Yvonne in Janesville. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I live at Cedar Crest in Janesville.
Okay, and what is Cedar Crest? What is it?
A senior citizen center.
Okay.
And for years, I had a group, for a long, long time, like 20 years, a group of older, mixed age, but a lot of older women. And we met every Tuesday, and we hooked rugs and quilted together.
Mm.
But I think the benefit of it was I learned so much about the senior citizens and how they grew up. They didn't get a new doll, but their mother would redress it. You know, so it helps you financially put things in perspective, because we sometimes think everything has to be new and better, and it doesn't have to be.
Right.
So I learned a lot from those women, and I think it helped my kids, too.
Mm-hmm. And how has your experience been at the senior center? Are you happy?
Yes, I am.
Why?
It just fills a need that my husband and I needed.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have a leg amputated, so we had to give up our home, but it doesn't matter. And there are classes offered here, too, so I'm good.
Good. I'm glad you're good. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll take more phone calls momentarily. We're talking about this Artist in Residence program this hour of the show. It's University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Student Artist Residency Program. Artists are facilitating different kinds of programs. They can be programs in weaving or making plant boxes or theater, radio plays, all of that, and there are three of them in the Milwaukee area. We met two of the artists in residence the first half hour of the program, and this half hour we're speaking with two of the residents at Luther Manor in Wauwatosa, Rusty Tim and Joyce Heinrich, who are participants in the program. And in a few moments, we will also talk to the Life Enrichment Coordinator at Luther Manor. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to Amy in New Berlin next. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I was calling because I just have a quick question, and I totally believe in this kind of thing. I think it's amazing. And I'm an actor, and I took a year off. I also work in an administrative job, but I took a year off to take care of, to be a CNA and to work in homes and take care of older people with dementia mostly. And I had a client that I really connected with, he and I, and he had great stories. So I'm also a storyteller in Milwaukee, and I brought him to a storytelling event, and it went really well. I mean, he just loved it. But I got a little bit of backlash from people saying, like, you know, you're just tricking him out. You know, this is, like, does he really understand what he's doing? If you have an idea, you know, are you just like a stage mother to this guy and pushing him out and making him tell these stories? And I thought, that's odd. No, he loves being here. But I wondered if anybody ever got that feeling, too, you know, like this is,
you're just pandering to us by showing us this old man, or you're just making us feel this way. I'm sorry, I have dogs in my car, and there's another dog walking by. I just wondered if anyone else ever had that experience and how they dealt with it.
Yeah. Rusty, you want to take that?
Well, you know, a lot of people say, boy, this is the end. But to me, this is not, you know, living here is not the end. To me, living here is the beginning. This is a whole new experience.
Right.
You know, it just starts. It starts differently, and it works so wonderfully too. So it's
I
a new.
I think so too. I mean, I thought it was great for his ego, and it was, it wasn't about me. It was about him. I was just in the background. We kind of did a Sud Strakel kind of thing, where I just asked him questions and he answered them, and. And the audience just went crazy. I mean, they just loved him. And I felt really bad that people thought that that would be some kind of gimmick or something. I thought it was, no. I was like, no, these people are very serious. So he knows what he's doing. He's prepared. We're ready to go. We know what we're doing. We're up on stage. It's just an odd feeling. I wondered if you've had that experience at all.
Well, you know, people just don't understand.
Yeah. Do you want to take that too? Joyce?
Well, I think there are a certain number of people who prefer to... knack holes and things, irregardless
right.
of
absolutely
how noble the efforts that might be made are. There's a certain negativity just born into some people. There's a certain positive aspect born into people,
mm-hmm.
like the lady that we just spoke to from New Berlin.
Right.
Never
right.
the twain shall meet, we hope.
Yeah. I think that's true, Amy, and sometimes it gets to you and you know better. You know that you shouldn't. You know that he's enjoying it and you're enjoying it, and that's a good thing, right?
Right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Keep on, Dak. Keep on going. You guys are doing great.
Thanks for the call. Michelle in Milwaukee. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to call in and say this is just a wonderful program and so inspiring to hear these young people volunteering their time and the impact that the positive impact that it's making. I do, however, want to say that you are, you know, going into senior communities is a certain kind of demographic, and it is, you know, quite expensive to live in one of these facilities. And I think a lot of older people who are, you know, economically disadvantaged are isolated and
yes.
are, you know, would really benefit from programs like this. But so I just thought if this program could be expanded to some of the nursing homes, and, you know, where people, you know, are truly neglected, I think that would make a very big and positive impact.
Yeah, and I know there are senior daycare centers all over the city. Rusty, are these programs operating in those places?
We have a program at an adult daycare center. Those are programs available to people from outside the community, some of whom may even be financially disadvantaged. We have no way of knowing, of course. No, there are some of these programs if you seek them out.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for being with us. We're plumb out of time. Rusty, great to talk to you again after all these years.
Good talking
yeah.
to you too, Kathy.
You sound terrific. And thanks so much, Joyce, for being with us.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we enjoyed it too. And we also want to thank Anne Basting for thinking about these kinds of programs. She's worthy of that award, the MacArthur Genius Award. The participants in the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Student Artist Residency Program this hour with two of the students and two of the residents from facilities all over the city of Milwaukee. We thank everybody for being with us. We'll have more of a contact information for you on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, in case you'd like to get involved in some way. Thanks to Colleen Leahy for producing this interesting show. Thanks to Lisa Nalbandian for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening and for all of your comments. We'll be with you again tomorrow and hope you'll listen starting at 1 o'clock.